This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of the Naz and Wally Sports Hour, heard Sunday mornings at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
The world doesn't need another sports show. It needs an awesome sports show. You're listening to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Good morning, Naz. Good morning, Wally. The boys are back. Let's talk sports.
Good morning. Welcome to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. I'm your host, Walter Rigobon. Joining me as usual in studio, my co-host, Naz Marchese. Good morning, Naz. How are you?
Good, Wally. How are you?
Also joining us this morning, former Washington Capitol, former Toronto Maple Leaf, leaping Lou Franceschetti. Good morning, Lou. How are you this
gentlemen,
morning?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Louie.
Lou, I understand you're not leaping too much this week. not a lot to celebrate in Leafs Nation this week. In fact, got my Keon sweater on this morning, but I've dropped the fedora. Let's see if we can change the karma, Naz. We're down 0-2. Lost the first two games at home.
Should have won both of them.
But
goaltending is important.
How are you feeling? The Leafs going to turn it around?
I'm not feeling too good about this, Wally, really. They're down two games, and it looks like Bobrovsky's on a hot streak, so I'm not looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's certainly Bobrovsky's, I fairly say, probably stole both of those games. Couple of quotation marks boneheaded mistakes by the Toronto Maple Leafs early in the second period the other night turned a really good first period that they had under their belts 2-1 going to the second period. You're a minute and a half into the second period, you're down 3-2. That's certainly not and Leafs couldn't cash one the rest of the game.
Wally, right?
Yeah, I was at the game. Yeah, so I was sitting.
How was the crowd coming into the second period?
That's a good question, Naz, because I got to get this one off. Sorry, Lou, I'll get to you in a second. I got to get this one off my chest, and Lou, and you know where I'm going with this one, because you and I chat a couple of times during the week, and we had this chat Friday morning. Okay, nothing's changed in the playoffs, Naz. You come back at the end of the period, there are whole sections in the Platinums that are completely empty. I'm not talking two or three seats. You look at the background, and you know, you would think come playoff time, people would down their martinis a little bit quicker, their beers or whatever, and get back to their seats, but that ain't happening. It didn't happen at the end of the first period. Didn't happen at the end of the second period. The crowd's dead for the first 5 minutes of each period. You know, how do I feel about it? I don't feel good about it, quite frankly. I'd like to see people in their seats and cheering on the Leafs from the moment the puck drops at the beginning of the second period. I also understand people pay a lot of money for these tickets. They can do whatever the hell they want. Okay, so I'm sure I'll get criticized for making these comments, but I go down there as a fan. You know, during the regular season, you know, it's a Tuesday night in January against the Anaheim Ducks. You know, maybe I'm back there, having a cocktail too for the first 3 or 4 minutes a second. But a playoff game after that first period and at the end of the second period, you know, I'm sorry. You know, guys, get your jerseys on, get out there, cheer the Leafs. And the crowd was dead for the first 5 minutes. Anyways, I got it off my chest. Lou, let's get you into this. We're down two. What do we got to do to turn it around, Lou?
Well, Wally, let's go to your first comment.
My rant?
I think the fans forget that they're in the second round. I don't even know whether they know they're at a hockey game. So let's give them that kudos. To your question there, I think Leaf fans and Leaf players got to stop whining and more or less do whatever they have to do. It's plain and simple. We know there's shenanigans going on during the game. The headlock, the double cross check to the net. Do something about it.
Yeah,
I hate guys talking about it.
Yeah,
on TV, the reporters are trying to get bulletin board material for the Florida Panthers. Guys, just go out and play the game and do whatever you have to do. If you see that happening, take care of it. If you don't have anybody to take care of it, then shame on you.
I want to follow up on that, but before I do that, Lou, I just want to let our listeners know where the show's going today. After the first break, couldn't think of anybody better than have on the show today. The greatest coach in professional sports history, Scotty Bowman, is going to be joining us at about 9:15. Certainly like to hear his comments or his thoughts about how the Leafs turned this around. And I'm sure I don't know if he's ever been in any similar situation, but he's been around hockey long enough to give us some insight in terms of how the Leafs might be able to turn it around, other than he'll probably say, you got to get more pucks past Bobrovsky. That's easy. But I'm thrilled that we've got Scotty on this morning, and I'm really looking forward to his insights. And bottom end of the hour, acclaimed hockey writer, one of our go-to guys on Naz and Wally Sports Hour over the course of the last few years. Of course, I'm talking about Michael Trakos, great hockey writer in Canada, and doing a great podcast right now, Hockeyverse. So we'll get his thoughts at the bottom end of the hour. But to follow up on your comment, Lou, Matthew Nyes got taken down on Thursday night. Some people are calling it a WWE move. Reminds me of a move Naz reminded me this morning. Used to be a wrestler in the 1970s called Tex McKenzie. He used to have a move similar to that. It used to be called the Bulldog. Lou, I know you're chomping at the bit to get back to me on this one because you understand NHL playoffs better than I do. But I don't understand. I get the part that, you know, it's the playoffs. It's tough hockey. You don't suspend. I'm not so much in disagreement with the fact that that Bennett didn't get suspended. That part of it, I can swallow. The fact that he didn't get a penalty, I'm you know, after reviewing that and you know, looking at it from 23 different angles, I don't know how you don't get a penalty on that. Nowadays, if you touch a player, you get a hold. If you pull his sweater a little bit, you get a holding call. This guy gets taken down by the neck and gets a concussion, and there's no penalty on the play. But I think we can agree there should have been a penalty. Let me ask you this question, Lou. You're on this Toronto Maple Leafs team, and you saw what they took, the liberties that Sam Bennett took to a player, a rookie, who'd come in, has been doing wonderful work for the Leafs. Lou, I got to say it. I didn't see too much pushback from the Leafs that night on any of this stuff that Sam Bennett was getting away. Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? There was no pushback, and it's really up to the Leaf players on the ice. You can't expect the coach to more or less pat you on the shoulder and say, okay, listen, you go out after Bennett after that happened. The players on the ice, they know what their jobs and their duties are. Unfortunately for the Toronto Maple Leafs, they don't have any player that's up front that's willing to do it. And I'm not even looking at Bunting. Bunting's not a player. He's the one that's always whining. Well, he's drawing the penalties, supposedly. He draws a two-minute minor for cross-checking from the same guy, Bennett. But you've got to be smart. You either go after him in a very, very subtle way later on that game, or you wait till the next game at a perfect opportunity, because you really, if you're a smart player, you don't want to put your team in jeopardy by getting another penalty so they can come back and get a chance to score. So you've got to do it either probably the next game where the game is fresh. Yes, a two-minute penalty at the beginning of the game isn't going to be as bad as a two-minute penalty or a cheap penalty with 10 minutes to go, because you have a longer chance to come back in the game. And you're going to send Bennett a message, or even anybody, a Duclair. Go out and give, I hate to say this, a two-hander to Barkov. Somebody of that nature, just to... And
but
then
there's
go
gotta
by their
be,
bench and laugh at them.
Yeah, there's got to be some response, I would think. And interestingly enough, they asked Luke Shen the question, and this was Luke Shen's response. about, he said, we'll see what the response is. So I think Luke's going to be prominent tonight. And I couldn't agree with you more. The Leafs have to be smart about it. You got to pick your spots. There's no margin for error left in this series. So you certainly can't go out there and get stupid penalties. That's just not going to work. And they've got to be really smart about it. But they do have to. There has to be some.
They had a power play on the.
And that would have been the response. Yeah. You score on that.
Exactly.
Then the message
it's
is sent.
Paul Maurice,
but
coaching
Naz, just before we go to break, the media's trying to create these lines and whatever hot button topics. Are we going to see the Wayne train tonight, Naz?
I don't think they're going to address him tonight.
We're not going to see Wayne Simmonds tonight?
No, I don't think so. I heard they're going 11-7 tonight.
They're
going
to go 11-7. Certainly, I think that ultimately, if they dress, what do you think, Lou?
I agree with Matt. They got to go 11-7. You know how I feel about Wayne Simmonds. He's 5 years too late for the speed of this game.
Okay,
and nobody on Florida is more or less going to bat an eye anytime he's on the ice. And we know that he's going to go out looking for stuff. He's probably going to go up and talk to Sam Bennett, but Sam's not going to give him the time of day because Sam's a little bit too smart about that. He knows he's a vital part of that hockey team, and Wayne Simmonds is only there for a certain reason. So if you're going to put a player in that's only going to play 4 or 5 minutes a game, I don't think it's going
to
be worth it.
I think to wrap up this segment, the Leafs have to send a message, but they've got to do it smartly, and they've got to do it within the confines of the game, and they can't do anything extraneous outside of the confines and attract stupid penalties because they just can't. They're not at a stage in this series where they can afford it. We'll leave it at that. We're going to talk about all kinds of other things that the Leafs can do, and who better than talk about that than Hall of Fame coach, and I call him the greatest coach in professional sports history. We'll be right back with Scotty Bowman.
It was a rainy day when Pizzaville declared, we'll never be the fastest, we'll never be the cheapest, we'll never be the snazziest dressed.
What?
Yeah, my point is, we want to be the best!
At Pizzaville, we want to make the best pizza. Stone-baked, the traditional Italian way.
Pizzaville, stone-baked pizza. Fiercely Canadian. Authentically Italian.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
They never argue sports. They just explain while they're always correct. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740, 96.7 FM and live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. We're thrilled and privileged to welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour hockey coaching legend, Scotty Bowman. Good morning, Scotty, and thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's good to be on. I'm doing okay.
Scotty, big game tonight. Of course, we're a Toronto radio station. We think the world revolves around the Toronto Maple Leafs, and in this market, it does. So we're all Toronto Maple Leafs fans are seriously concerned about how this series has started. We're down two, seemingly have played well, had a lot of things go our way, leading in all kinds of stat categories except for one, which is the score, the amount of goals scored. You're a coach. You've been a coach. You've been the best coach ever in professional hockey and in professional sports. You're looking at this game tonight and what you've seen. What adjustments should the Leafs be considering?
Well, you know, in my day, of course, you know, it was always difficult to win away from your home, especially in the playoffs. But the reverse has happened now. It's just an amazing statistic. I don't know exactly what it is, but the visiting teams have just crushed the home team in all the different series, including last night, you know, Edmonton going in and whipping Vegas. But I think what's going on now is you're up against a goaltender that really hasn't been that great for the last 3 years. 4 years ago, I guess, he was so good. I remember the two games in Tampa. I was at those two games. And in fact, they were behind 3-0 in the first game, and what do you know, they won 4 straight. When you're up against a goalie like that, it's in your mind, and there are quite a few young players on the Maple Leafs, although there's some veterans like John Tavares and that, and I think they've tweaked their lines enough during the season that they probably, you know, could, when you think about, they could pretty well play anybody with anybody. And the power play has looked good, but the puck hasn't gone in the net. And I think they have to address that point. And one of the things that, I mean, I haven't seen every game that Toronto played, but I don't know how much time Nylander played during the season on the power play, but I would probably get him on the power play. You know, he's a goal scorer, what, 40 goals, I think, something like that. And when you think about it, Ryan O'Reilly and John Tavares they're kind of similar. John Tavares didn't have a great 5-on-5 season, but he was so effective on the playoffs. He's got a special knack around the goal, and he's still on the power play. But somehow, I mean, I know O'Reilly's really good on faceoffs, which is a very big and beneficial thing to Toronto. But I didn't think Tavares was that deficient on power play faceoffs. I don't have all those stats like some people do. So, you know, Nylander's a player to me that they've got to get going. He's got to put the puck in the net. He didn't play badly. I might think about putting him a bit I might try to load up a bit against the Panthers and, you know, the odd time, maybe sneak them up there with Matthews and Marner and let the other team defend a little bit. Because the goaltenders saved them. And they've, territorially, there have been a lot. And I don't think playing away from Toronto should be a big factor for this team. I saw them play games in Toronto, or in Tampa. I saw them win the last game of the season. I saw them play in the playoffs. They just came back up north. So, I mean, it doesn't take a lot, but the confidence factor of putting the puck in the net, you can't just dwell on that. They just have to put it in the net and get to Bobrovsky.
Naz?
William Nylander had a great third period the other night, Scotty. What do you think of his consistency as a player, though?
Well, he seems to go in spots. He's a very skillful player, and I don't think that you're playing against an ironclad team. I mean, it might appear that way, but there's been so many scoring chances against Bobrovsky, so it's not like you got a team that's you know, sometimes in my day, teams like I was in Detroit one year, and we couldn't get a sniff against New Jersey. We couldn't even hardly get the puck over center ice. They were so stifling. But I don't think that the Panthers are that stifling. They're playing fairly aggressive. They're going to get penalties, I think. They even said it themselves. And it's been proven that they'll get penalties. So I don't think there's a lot they can do. I'd like to see the Toronto defensemen get pucks through, because when territorially they've had the puck a lot in the Florida end, and maybe except for O'Reilly and Shen, who's been a surprise, getting pucks. You got to get pucks around that net, and I'd like to, that's one thing I think the defensemen are going to have to make sure. You know, maybe you can't hold on it too long. You got to get it through. You got to get it away from where their people are blocking the you know, in front of the net. And that's a task for any defense corps.
Lou, I'll turn it over to you.
Scotty, you're absolutely right. They're really it's not different from playing on the road or at home nowadays, because every rink is a cookie-cutter rink. You don't go into rinks like we used to. When you used to go into the Forum, or you used to go into the Boston Garden or the Chicago Stadium, or even the Madison Square Garden, there's a lot different atmosphere in every road rink. So some players sometimes would be a little bit hesitant or even scared to go into those buildings, knowing that the home crowd is going to be behind them. But on the lighter side of things, the Leafs had this game in hand in the first period. They come out the second period in the first 5 minutes, they blow. They get two costly mistakes. I know where you coached. You had a sheet of paper with an amount of rules that you had to follow to succeed in the playoffs. If you can share them with us regarding the last minute of every period, 5 feet inside both blue lines. Can you share some of those rules with us?
Yeah, that's the game today is turnovers. And I've watched some tapes of our, I mean, we had a lot of Hall of Fame players. So, I mean, it's not a fair thing, but the Leafs will have some too. But I did watch games from the 70s, and it is different. Like you said, the even the referees are so fully screened now. Home or away, they don't care. I mean, if they know if they don't measure up, they're not going to move on. But watching our teams play and win in Montreal, and then later on in Detroit after we got going, is the ability of our defensemen, no turnovers, get the puck over the blue line as quickly as you can. And this would really help Toronto, because they have dynamic forwards. If you get the puck to the right place in the neutral zone and don't play in your own end zone. And like you said, Lou, those two quick goals, it's just a snapshot of less than a minute, has turned the whole darn series and even the game around, that they profited on that. So I would think the speed and the because Florida surprised some teams around, that they've always been a heavy offensive team. When Joel Quenneville was there and before the problem happened, their defense moves up. They play a little differently now. I mean, they've got Mark Stahl, not really a puck carrier, but Montour has really developed into a dangerous player. Forsling, a good young defenseman that also is dangerous. And you know, Ekblad's always had that ability to shoot the puck. So I think it's premium to get the puck away from their own end quicker and get that puck and try to get in the neutral zone. How do you do it? Well, you know, there's a lot of different ways. I watched our Montreal defensemen play, like one in particular, Serge Savard. And game after game, when I see the replays of the playoffs, and when he got the puck, he wasn't a puck rusher, but the puck went over the blue line. And very seldom did it get a turnover. And that's when I think that this team, Florida, looked for turnovers, you know, Kachuk and Cousins and Bennett, they're not. I mean, they look different than a lot of players, but from the blue line in, they're a terrific line, and they've had a big playoff too. But what they do, they get turnovers. They get turnovers all the time. And, I mean, I don't think they're getting beat on the rush as much as they're getting beat on those scrambly plays behind the net. I mean, they are aggressive. Give them credit for that. And Verhaeghe's had a great season. You don't want to give him too many scoring chances. But I just think Toronto's got to get that puck over the blue line much quicker. Not as much east-west, they call it, which means side-to-side, and getting it over that blue line. Now you can go to the far blue line. My day in coaching was the center line was a protector, but now you can extend the other team if they press you a little bit. I think it's more the forwards than their defensemen that are really causing the headaches around the goal crease, and that makes it tough on the goalie.
We're talking to Scotty Bowman. Scotty, obviously the difference in this series so far has been Bobrovsky, the goalie in the Florida net. Every stat category that all these analytics guys look at these days, the Leafs have been winning all the stats except for the one, is they put more pucks in our net than we put in their net.
Yeah.
And, of course, you've coached for a long, long time, Scotty. I'm sure you've run across hot goalies.
Oh, yeah.
In so many series in your day, what do you tell your players other than keep shooting? Is there anything you tell your players?
He's an active goalie. He made a save the other night. We don't even see very much of. Austin Matthews had that puck about 25 feet in front, and he can fire the puck so quickly. He leaped up and made the save. So, you know, he's anticipating a lot. And, he's in position. I'll give him a lot of credit. But at the same time, you know, the Leafs have been around their net. I mean, it's a tough situation. We had a great team in Pittsburgh one year, and I have to mention it to you people because you know him. He stood on his head, Glenn Healy.
Yeah.
He wasn't a great goalie for a long time. But, boy, you talk about it. We couldn't put the puck by him. So I think Leafs got a... I mean, they're trying as hard as they can to do the one-timers. I would just keep getting the puck. They got to hope that some of these play. I mean, I wouldn't try to be cute and pick corners and stuff with this goalie because he moves and pucks hit him. And I think it's just a matter of just continually barraging that net because they get shooters. You know, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, these guys can, and Tavares is closer in, but they can really shoot the puck. And I that was what I would say. He's had two great games. Give him his credit, but don't let up.
What has Luke Shen made Morgan Rielly? What kind of a defenseman has he made Morgan Rielly, Scotty?
Well, he's been aggressive, and he's been a lot cleaner in his exits than he maybe was early in his career. I think the experience he had in Vancouver, Bruce Boudreau used him. And I give Bruce a lot of credit because I didn't know much about Luke Shen. I mean, he's been around a few teams, Tampa. He's always been aggressive, and I think it gave a lot of confidence to. And also the fact that he's pretty big and strong in those corners. So Morgan Rielly always wants to go up with the puck, which he's done. So it's been that combination has been fine. I look up a lot of the. I don't have the analytics either, but they seem to be on a lot, especially when they're behind the Matthews line. And that's another part that they may want to, I don't know if they can do it much more because you try to play three or four lines, maybe four lines sometimes, but Matthews, when he's got Rielly behind him, it seems to make him even that much better.
Scotty, we won't keep you much longer. There's a I want to follow up on just from a natural curiosity point of view on something we just discussed a few minutes back. I remember the days in the 70s with the Montreal Canadiens and Roger Doucette would do the national anthem. The crowd would go crazy, and you guys would be all over. There was a home ice advantage, and teams used to fight for home ice advantage. And for lack of a better term, the old days. I'm not seeing home ice advantage anywhere anymore. Why is that, Scotty? How's the game changed?
Yeah, Lou addressed the part that a lot of people have mentioned, that the arenas are, it is true, the dimensions of the arenas, when you used to play in Boston, Chicago, Buffalo, for sure, there's three. Even the Montreal Forum and the Maple Leaf Gardens were different arenas. Montreal Forum had deep corners. The straightaway, there was much more straightaway board, like in other words, behind the goal. I think they used to be something like 24 feet before the board started to go towards the sides. And now, you know, all the rinks are pretty well, you know, 200 by 85. They build the new rinks. They're to the same custom as each other. That's the big factor. And then, of course, you know, the game now, it's so screened by all the video, and there's nothing that is going to happen on the ice to me. There's going to be slippages, which we've seen already, but not the advantage for the home team because of the officiating. I mean, they're not intimidated by, not that, I mean, we had good referees in our day, but they let them play a little bit more, and maybe a team like Philadelphia, Boston, they were so competitive, and they were so tough, and they played that style. But I don't think teams do that anymore. The power plays may have a big impact on the way the game is played now. When you look at Edmonton, it's hard to believe and keep watching. I mean, no teams have. I mean, there's no team in a long time that's had a Draisaitl McDavid combination. You know, we just don't have those type of players together. But they've been just they kill you on the power play. So that shows, like, you got to be careful. You can't be over zealous in your checking against that Edmonton team. And it's in the 40% range. We were always satisfied with 20, and now they've doubled it up. So I think that's the one big thing about playing on the road now. You're gonna get your power plays. You're not going to have the whistle in the pocket, stuff like that. And in all fairness to the old referees that refereed, you know, they were alone. They were one-man gangs on the ice. And so it's so different now. You got the two referees. And you got two linesmen who's got a lot of ability to come in and say, I mean, the way the league is perfected, they want to get every call right. That's their, and people often say, well, why do they have this delay? Why do they have this video on that? They're even going and stretching it now. And in Toronto, I mean, the crew that's there, like, you know, Mike Murphy's and Chris King and that, they do such a, I mean, I've never been in the war room, but I know people have told me about it, that there's nothing can be seen. If you miss something on the ice, so what? They're going to pick it up. And I kind of like it. You know, it's truthful. And I mean, so, you know, you want to get the call right, and they're getting them right now. I mean, they have much more advantage with all the video.
We've been talking to Scotty. Scotty, I know that you've got commitments that you have to get to, and so we'll take the opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for taking the time for us, and thank you for providing your insights. And it's always a privilege and a pleasure, Scotty. Really appreciate it.
Keep in touch, and nice to talk to Lou again. He was a player that had a lot of drive and the kind of player you want in the playoffs, because he always played that two-way game. So nice to talk to you, Lou, and both of you, and hope to see you soon or hear from you soon.
Hopefully. Bye. You will, Scotty. Thank you so much. Scotty Bowman.
Thanks, Scotty, for the compliment.
Lou, how big is your head right now?
Please, come on, Wally. You know me, that if you would have got run in the corner, I would have been there to protect you.
You know, my one, yeah, I know you would have, absolutely you would have. There's no question in my mind about that. When you played, you know, our listeners, we joke around with Lou quite a bit, but.
The ultimate compliment.
It was a great compliment. Just our listeners know, you know, Lou's a buddy, and, you know, it's friendly banter, and not to be taken seriously, but I've always said, and I will say it publicly, Lou, and it pains me to say this, but I have the highest respect for what you accomplished in the NHL and what you brought to the table every game, and you never mailed it in. And you, whatever your skill set was, you not easy to make the NHL. So I'll leave it at that. Don't want to give you too many compliments, Lou.
Well, you know what? I'll pat myself on the back one more time here.
Right. Anyways, on that note,
I was actually given a little bit better compliment when I was playing. That there was actually, you know how you have your talk before every period, yeah, or every game?
Yeah.
That they actually mentioned me, that they had to be aware any time that I was on the ice, that I could actually be a little bit dangerous to that team or even to myself sometimes.
Anyways, we're going to go to break. Coming back from the break, acclaimed hockey writer Michael Trakos, also the host of a podcast, The Hockey Verse. We're going to be thrilled to talk to him and our producer, Dan. Maybe a little bit of technical difficulty with Lou's phone at times. Maybe if you can reconnect with Lou, maybe we can clear that up. We'll be right back.
It was a rainy day in Pizzaville when my wife accused me of having an affair. How could I tell her that I was hopelessly in love with extra thin crust pizza from Pizzaville? I didn't ask for this to happen. It was so thin, so delicate, so delicious. I can't bear to share it with my wife. She wants me to see a counsellor, but I don't want to share it with him either. Call Pizzaville for an extra thin crust pizza at 736-3636.
We all value our sporting heroes. But what price would you put on one in mint condition? If you ask us, you'll get an honest answer. Mint Inc. Trading Cards and Sports Merchandise is looking to buy your vintage collection of hockey, basketball, baseball, football, and soccer heroes. Come and see us in person at our new Toronto Mint Inc. Gallery at 198 Davenport, east of Avenue Road, or visit our store online at mintink.ca. Show us what you got, and we'll show you the money. Think Mint Inc.
Passion. It drives athletes, entrepreneurs, family businesses, and fast-growing companies. It's also what inspires KPMG Enterprise to help drive success. A dedicated audit, tax, law, and advisory practice, KPMG Enterprise delivers ideas and insights. Whether you want to grow your business, embrace technology, plan for an exit, or manage the transition of wealth, search KPMG Enterprise, understanding what it takes to make your business even better.
There are lawyers at Miller Thompson who know your industry. They'd like to introduce you to theirs. It starts with relationships. It's not just about happy clients. They support thriving business partners. Miller Thompson infuses law with the same tenacity you bring to your work, whether supporting your daily operations or offering urgent legal advice. But that's enough about them. Let's talk about you. Visit MillerThompson.com and find out how they can move your business forward.
They're not here to be nice. They're here to be right. The boys are back. The Naz and Wally Sports Hour on Zoomer Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the Naz and Wally Sports Hour. We are live on AM 740 in downtown Toronto, 96.7 FM. Live video and audio streaming, www.zoomerradio.ca. He's the author. The next one's How McDavid, Matthews, and a Group of Young Guns Took Over the NHL. Acclaimed hockey writer and also host of a great new podcast, The Hockey Verse, Michael Trakos. Good morning, Michael, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks. I'm always happy to come on the show, especially when I heard that Lou was going to be on this morning. I really wanted to.
Did you hear the compliment?
I heard he was fine form by your producer. So.
Oh, he was in fine form. I don't know if you listened to the previous interview, but Scotty Bowman actually gave him a pat on the back, and I think Lou's going to become insufferable from now on.
That's great to hear.
Anyways, Michael, you tweeted. I'm following you on Twitter. This is what you tweeted. I think it was yesterday or the day before. The Leafs are down 0-2 after dropping both at home. So why does it feel like they are going to win the series? Michael, tell me why it feels like they're going to win the series.
Well, maybe I'm just, you know, spring weather. I'm just more optimistic than usual. But you guys watched games 1 and 2. You
sure did.
Leafs were the far better team. Aside from one Florida line that's just driving them crazy, and a goaltender that is found the perfect time to really heat up in Bobrovsky. This thing could easily be 2-0 for the Leafs, and we could be looking at a sweep in Florida. So I still believe that tonight the Leafs are going to win. They're going to win game four as well, and it's going to be tied going back to Toronto. Just because, you know, what are the top guys get in the last game? I think Nylander, Marner, and Matthews each had 6 shots on net. That's a recipe for success. I don't care if it's a regular season or the playoffs. And, you know, if they keep pounding those shots on net, I think good things are going to happen. And, yeah, I'm calling it right now. I think this thing goes back to Toronto, tied.
Go ahead, Ness.
Nylander's third period was incredible. Best I've seen this year of any Leaf. Are you surprised at that?
No, because, you know what? Nylander, I've covered this guy enough since he was a Marley and even in his draft year. This guy responds to criticism better than most guys in the NHL. So I think he realized that this playoff hasn't been his best. Game one definitely wasn't his best game, and even in game two, he finishes with a -2. But like you said, in that third period and for most of the game, when he was on the ice, the puck was on his stick. I thought that was one of his stronger games. And, yeah, you know, he's going to drive you crazy. And I think he drives most Leaf fans crazy because you see the talent. You saw what he did in that third period. When he wants to play, I think he's as skilled as Matthews or Marner, maybe even a better skater. He's got a wicked wrist shot, and it's just about, is that fire lit under him? And in game two, it was lit. And I think if that's going to be the Nylander we see in games three and four, good things are going to happen. So it's just a matter of, can this guy, you know, can he be as consistent as he was in that third period? And I think that's going to be the challenge for him, and that's always going to be the challenge because he's a streaky player. He goes on, you know, 2-week runs where you think he's the best player in the NHL, and another 2 weeks you think, I want to trade this guy for just a bucket of pucks. So we'll see what we get out of William Nylander tonight, but if he plays like he did in that third period, I think good things are going to happen.
Lou?
Michael, we just got off talking to Scotty Bowman there, and he did mention that Sheldon Keith is going to be more or less, it's going to be up to him to start managing his lines a little bit better than he has. We know that Matthews and Nylander are pretty much the two natural shooters that they have in this hockey club. Do you think they're going to have to put them players together and more or less cause a little bit more problems with the for the Panthers to adjusting? And how do they address the shenanigans that the big, if you want to call them big three, the small three of Cousins, Tkachuk, and Bennett are bringing to the game?
Well, Lou, can you strap on the? I don't know how
I'm going to put Lou in the lineup
there, but you know they need a little Franceschetti in the lineup right now to kind of set things straight.
Oh no, we're never going to be able to deal with Lou again ever. You know he's got a pat on the back from Scotty Bowman and acclaimed hockey writer Michael Tracos in the same show. I mean the problems you have just caused for us, Mike.
He's going to be voted to the Hall of Fame. Well.
Anyways, Mike, I'll let you continue your thought.
Well, you know, I argued this point even in round one. I'm surprised we haven't seen Wayne Simmonds in the lineup. I think that's due to the fact that Matthew Knies has been everything they wanted him to be. But now that Knies is out with the concussion, and we see these, you know, shenanigans from whether it's Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, Radko Gudas, whoever. It can't just be up to Luke Shen to kind of straighten things out. We saw in the Edmonton game last night, Evander Kane just went to town physically against that Vegas team. The Leafs need some sort of physical bounce answer, and whether it's coming from a guy like Wayne Simmonds or a guy like Luke Shen or whoever, or maybe it's someone just has to play out of their comfort zone and just kind of, you know, punch back, so to speak. So that's my answer in terms of the shenanigans. They can't let Bennett and Tkachuk just kind of own the ice, especially in Florida.
Yeah, there's
as far as Keith goes in the line matching, I don't know how you guys feel, but I think this guy's overthinking it a little bit.
Yeah.
I didn't like the line matching to start the game in the in game two where he had the O'Reilly line on against the Tkachuk line. You know, that's Florida's best line, the Tkachuk line. Why not throw Toronto's best line out against them? You know, match fire against fire, mano a mano, put Matthews out against those guys. I want to see Matthews with Marner and Bunting. That's been the line that's been their most successful all season long. I don't know why he doesn't keep going back to it. Keep Nylander with Tavares. And, you know, whether it's Kerfoot or Yarncroft who takes up that other winger spot, I don't care. But you got to keep the pairs how they've been all year long. And Matthews and Marner, I wouldn't touch those guys. I'd keep them the same, and I'd keep Tavares with Nylander and go that way. And if you have to have a boost, you know, you throw O'Reilly maybe on the wing with those guys to give them a little bit of a boost. But, yeah, I don't think you need to overthink things. On paper, Toronto's the better team. They've got the firepower to get things done. It's just a matter of can they find pucks past Bobrovsky. And like I said earlier, when you're getting that many shots, you're generating that much offensive zone pressure, good things should happen. And, you know, I don't care how good of a goaltender you are. This is Matthews. This is Marner, Nylander, Tavares, O'Reilly. You go down the list. Toronto's got more than enough guys that should be able to beat any goalie in the NHL.
Yeah, then, I mean, if you look at the talking about the Wayne train, there's no question Leafs need to push back. Whether Simmons is the guy, you know, I love what Evander Kane did last night. Unfortunately, Wayne Simmons doesn't have that level of skill that Evander Kane has. So it'll be interesting to see what Keefe does on that front tonight. And the one interesting stat, you know, Leafs, the analytics guys, Leafs are winning every single stat category except for goals in the net. But what they're not doing, Michael, and I'd like you to respond to this perhaps in how terms they might address it. What they're getting all kinds of first chance opportunities, but they're not, those first chance opportunities aren't leading to second chance opportunities or third chance opportunities.
Right.
How do Leafs, is it like, I mean, the old cliche is you got to crash the net. Is it that simple?
You got to get ugly, I guess, right? Yeah, you got to be okay with those garbage goals. And yeah, if I heard Dallas Eakins talking about it after the game in game two, saying that, you know, when you got a goalie, it doesn't matter what goalie it is, you take away his eyes, especially if he's, you know, seeing the puck so well. And I think that's the one thing that Bobrovsky's been able to do is, or at least the Florida defense has been able to do is, they're clearing lanes. So the shots that Leafs are getting on net, Bobrovsky's got a clear angle to them. So yeah, I agree with you. That first shot, yeah, let him save it, but then start crashing and going hard to the net. And I hear what you're saying about Wayne Simmons, and he's got a lot of miles on his body, and now it's been a few weeks since he's last played. But in short spurts, I think this guy can be a disruptor. And if you're looking for a guy that can bang and crash, I'm not saying you're going to throw him in your top six, but you know, even on the second power play unit, I think Wayne's still got those. Let's not forget, like early in his career or even midway through his career, this guy's got a great set of hands on him. He made a living in front of that net. And, you know, with Matthew Nyes not in the lineup right now, I think there's an opportunity for, you know, Wayne to play on one of the bottom lines there and, you know, just be a disruptor. Give the Leafs a little bit of a different look and, you know, maybe keep that Florida team a little bit honest because, you know, I love Matthew Tkachuk's game. I really like Sam Bennett's game as well. He doesn't live too far from where I live in Newmarket here. So really, you know, grown to appreciate the kind of player he's become. And I think every single team would love to have a Bennett or a Tkachuk in their lineup. And the Leafs don't have that guy. And I don't think that they're going to find that guy in the next little while, but you've got to mitigate what those guys bring because right now it's one line that's hurting the Leafs and it's one goalie that's hurting the Leafs, and you know they've got to find a way to solve both.
Yes,
Mark Giordano's being knocked around. He got knocked around against Tampa Bay. He's getting knocked around against Florida. Should he be in the lineup?
It's a good question. What is Mark Giordano? Is he like he's basically a guy that, you know, was probably better than he should have been this year, based on his age and where he is in his career. I love the guy to death. I think he's everything this Leaf team needs in terms of a leader. But let's face it, like, he got saddled with Justin Hall in the first round. And, you know, Hall didn't do Giordano any favors. You could argue that Giordano didn't do Hall any favors, but now he's got saddled with a guy in Timothy Liljegren who, you know, looks green on most nights.
He looks scared. He looks like he's playing scared.
He very much looks like he's playing scared, especially when pucks go deep in the zone. He just wants to get rid of it real quick. So, you know, you put Giordano with a Riley or even a Brody, and all of a sudden Giordano looks so much better. It's similar to what Luke Shen's kind of going through right now, where everyone loves Luke Shen and the kind of game he brings. Well, you've paired him with a guy that can move the puck, and all Luke Shen has to do is just take care of the just basically stay at home and take care of his own zone. Where you put Luke Shen with a Liljegren, or you put Luke Shen with Justin Hall, then everyone would probably be hammering Luke Shen for not being the defenseman that they want him to be. So I think a lot of Giordano's problems come to the or the root of the problems are the fact that he's playing with a guy either in Hall or Liljegren or whoever that just isn't up to snuff right now. And it's a difficult position to put a guy who, you know, it's not the Norris Trophy Giordano right now. It's a guy that's got a lot of years under him, and Father Time is catching up. So,
yeah, he's looking slow out there.
A difficult spot.
Yeah. Lou?
Mike, we've mentioned six out of the seven defensemen. What's going on with McCabe? Why hasn't he had a bigger presence in this playoff than he did in the Tampa series? Like, is he playing scared, or is he playing tentative? Why did he take the initiative? Big body, can skate. I guess I haven't seen any physical presence with him at all.
Yeah, in game one, he had the big hit on Tkachuk, but then really, yeah, I'm with you, Lou. He hasn't, even in the Tampa series, and I don't think he had a great series at all. You got to remember, this guy, this is his first playoffs. I mean, he's almost like the Jack Eichel of defensemen here, where prior to this year, he had never been in a playoff game. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of showing. This isn't the McCabe that I think the Leafs saw when they acquired him at the deadline. So, you know, he's still got more to give. And, you know, when we're talking about trying to mitigate Florida's physical prowess there, I think it's on a guy like McCabe to, you know, throw the body a little bit more and, you know, really make it uncomfortable for Florida's forward. So, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know if you're coming to the conclusion that maybe Brody shouldn't be playing with McCabe, or you just want more out of him, but yeah, I think you can make an argument that aside from Morgan Riley and aside from Luke Shen, the Leafs' defense, and whether it's Brody, whether it's McCabe, whether it's Giordano, Liljegren, or Hall, they haven't been up to the quality that we expected, especially when you think of just how deep this defense is and the quality of defensemen that are actually sitting up in the press box. Leafs have more NHL defensemen in the press box than a lot of teams have on the ice.
Michael, before we let you go, want to talk about we talk about the best players being the best players. Where there's a couple of guys out west that are playing at an all universe level right now, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And watching the Edmonton Oilers last night, you know, earlier in the week after the Tampa, at least somehow the odds makers put in the Toronto Maple Leafs as the Stanley Cup favorites. To me, that was the kiss of death. I got to think the Edmonton Oilers, if they haven't climbed to the top of the rank after what we've seen from these two guys in the last couple of games, pretty remarkable play by McDavid and Draisaitl. And if Edmonton gets any kind of goaltending, and they've showed some grit too, like the Montreal Canadiens from the 70s, when they had to push back, they pushed back. They had some guys who could fight. They had Pierre Bouchard, Robinson. They had some tough guys. And Edmonton has shown that they can match up on a physical level, too. Any reason why Edmonton's not the Stanley Cup favorites all of a sudden?
Hey, they should be. I picked them before the playoffs started as the team that I thought was going to win the Cup this year. I thought they were going to beat the Rangers in the final. So, you know, I'm half right so far. I love the Oilers right now. I think going to the conference final last year was huge for them. It showed them how close they are, and we're just seeing it right now where they just have that belief and they know how to get things done. You're right. The way Draisaitl's playing right now, aside from Tkachuk, there's no one better in the league in terms of playoff performers right now. And obviously, you know, we can talk about McDavid until we're blue in the face. This guy's just, you know, he's going to go down as one of the greatest players to ever play the game. But then you mix that in with a guy like Bouchard, who, you know, we're talking about Liljegren and not being up to snuff for the playoffs. What is Bouchard? I think he's the leading defenseman in scoring right now. He's been showing up in a big way. And then you got Hyman, you got Evander Kane, where if they're not scoring, they're doing other things to impact the game. If they can continue getting good goaltending from Jeff Skinner, or even just adequate goaltending from Jeff Skinner, yeah, there's no reason why the Oilers shouldn't be the number one contender for the Stanley Cup. I don't see a team that can really challenge them right now.
Man, it would be if the Leafs can turn this around and it looks like they would take on Carolina in the next one. Toronto, Edmonton in the Stanley Cup final. Man, you'd have to shut the country down for a couple of weeks, and it would be...
It would be a dream matchup. I don't think there's any... We never saw, like, because Pittsburgh and Washington are in the same conference, same division, we never got to see Sid and Ovi in a Stanley Cup final. Just, it was never going to happen, but... Can you imagine McDavid versus Matthews?
Anyways, well, we're going to have to let you go, Michael, and that would be fantastic, but I think we got to get by tonight's game.
I hope that happens.
Let's get by tonight first, and then tonight and the next one. Michael, you know how much we appreciate it. To all our listeners, you can find Michael Tracos at the Hockeyverse podcast. He also writes books. He's written the next ones, amongst others, How McDavid, Matthews, and a Group of Young Guns Took Over the NHL. I've always considered him one of Canada's great hockey writers. Michael, we always appreciate when you take the time
for us. Love your podcast, too, especially the other guy,
guys.
Legends.
And give our best to Johnny Legend. We got to get Johnny on the show, too, sometime.
That'd be great. Hopefully we can get you guys on the show one day.
We'd love to. We'd love to have fun. Thanks so much, Michael.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Lou, we've got about 30 seconds left. Your parting comment, and then I'll turn it over to Ness.
You got to remember, you got to lose four games and you got to win four games. So it's only 2-0. They're going into their building. They've had a great road record. They're 3-0 on the road.
Okay.
I think we got to take the towels away and stop whining.
Okay, Lou.
Play the game the way it's supposed to be played.
Okay, you got to come back.
Go, Leafs, go.
You got to come back to studio, Lou. We'll drop by next Sunday. Come back in. Let's have some fun.
Okay.
Anyway, so all our listeners, thanks so much for joining us. We've got our fingers crossed for tonight. That's all I can say. Have a fantastic week, and hopefully we'll be back next Sunday morning with smiles on our faces. Thank you.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.